Well, we welcome you to worship with us, and we're going to begin singing a couple of songs, and then Ken Stange will be sharing a message with us, beginning here with I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. In pity, angels beheld him and came from the world of light to comfort him in the sorrows he bore for my soul that night. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, will be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. We're singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Next song for the kids, Deep and Wide.
Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Deep and wide, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. For you, for me, Jesus died. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide. For you, for me, Jesus Jesus died, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Deep and wide, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Deep and wide, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. For you, for me, Jesus died, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. For you, for me, Jesus died, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide.
For our last song here today, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the skies.
Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountain. Your justice flows like the ocean's tide. And I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. And I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountain. Your justice flows like the ocean's tide. And I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. And I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings. And I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. And I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the skies.
Greetings from the Westlock Gospel Chapel. Right now, our congregation is not holding public worship gatherings, but we invite you to share in worship and the Word via this website, as we turn our faith and thoughts towards the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Ken Stange, opening the word to you today. I'm one of the elders here at the Gospel Chapel. Past generations have gone through confusing times, challenging times, whether it was the World Wars, the Great Depression, the Spanish flu, or many other localized disasters and calamities. But for most of us listening here today, this is the first time that we are experiencing a global pandemic and a growing economic chaos if nothing more than just seeing empty shelves in the grocery stores. But as I sit with my Bible on my lap in thought and in prayer, I'm reminded that for past generations, people have read and conducted their lives according to these very same truths that we still have today. No matter what the new challenge, God has not changed. His character is still the same. His purposes are not hijacked. These truths have endured the test, trial, and sufferings from godless generations, from social upheaval, and natural disasters. As in the past, now is our time to rise in faith and courage and to lift the Lord Jesus Christ above all concerns, fears, disappointments, and insecurities. So pray with me as we take time to look in God's Word together. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us through Jesus Christ, and that we have within the pages of Scripture this truth revealed to us. And so we invite you now to guide us and lead us, give us hope, courage, and confidence that, Lord, we serve the living God, the one who has all things under control. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. Amen. At the Westlock Gospel Chapel, we've been studying the letter to the Philippians penned by the Apostle Paul. If you've not already done so, I invite you to look at the recent messages that are on the website here, taught by Pastor Tim Wilson. I would like to take the opportunity today to apply some of what we've read and studied to our current circumstances. As we have learned, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians and other letters while in Rome. The closing verses of the book of Acts gives us a little insight into Paul's situation. I'll read them again for you here. It says, "Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him." At first glance, this account could describe a lengthy Mediterranean mission where Paul had the privilege of working from home. Can you imagine sitting beside the warm seas and the warm climates, the warm temperature, and doing your work from there? But we know, as we look at the book of Philippians and other aspects in these letters, that Paul was certainly not living an easy life. He was, in fact, under house arrest in this rented home, caught in the grinding, slow-moving bureaucracy of the Roman Empire. Now, he was likely not kept behind barred windows and locked doors, for we find in the book of Philippians that he mentions chains and a palace guard. No, he was probably either chained to the building there, or he may have been actually chained to a Roman guard on duty, watching over his every action and movement. His movements were restricted by these chains, and the guards were there keeping watch. Can you imagine the awkward, humiliating, and monotonous possibilities of this kind of confinement? Every movement, every chore, even every conversation had to be negotiated. Our current situation hints of some of Paul's circumstances, and I invite you to join with me in an expression of optimism and hope through the work of the Holy Spirit as we see recorded in the letter to the Philippians. To understand Paul's attitude in this arrangement, we discover surprising clarity from this letter. So I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. Paul writes here, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." As Paul would welcome and encourage visitors and speak with them of the things of Christ, the Roman guard on duty was party to every word, so that the talk of the whole Roman barracks would have included the attitude and the faith of this unusual Jewish captive that they were watching over. The guards were not listening to a man who was discouraged, angry, ashamed, or even depressed, but rather they were discovering the daily reinforced testimony of a man who was confident in God's plan and provision in Christ Jesus. It would appear that Paul certainly would have desired to be released and be free to resume his travels. We know from later on in the letter that he said he was going to send Timothy to them to bring a report and perhaps even to deliver this letter that he was writing. But he also said, "Therefore, I hope to send him at once as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself also shall come shortly." So it certainly was within Paul's hopes that he could be released. But even if he was not released, Paul was not giving in to the discouragement, fear, and disappointment that his circumstances could have dictated. He stated that he would be delivered from all of these fears and depressions by the work of God in his life. So I invite you to turn with me and go down to verse 19 of this same chapter, where Paul says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor, yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." This counterintuitive declaration of the Apostle Paul has been simmering in my thoughts for a number of weeks. And now, in this past week, with all the changes that we are experiencing, it has brought even greater practical clarity and application. Though we are not under house arrest in Rome, yet we are experiencing growing restrictions and confinement in our daily lives. We can apply what Paul celebrated directly to our lives during these times. So where did Paul get this confidence? And what was he expecting not to be ashamed in any way? We know from his letter to the Romans that he stated clearly that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which certainly must have been communicated on a very regular basis in this home situation as people came to visit with him. What is this confidence, this gospel that he was so assured of? Well, we know from reading the scriptures and from the writings of the Apostle Paul and the teachings of Jesus that our loving God and Creator has reached out to us in the person of Jesus Christ, who was incarnate on earth in real time and space, fully God and fully man. We know that Jesus brought the good news of the kingdom of God. But we're also keenly aware that Christ also exposed the condition of the human heart and how all people crave to live independently of God and choose to be enamored by the temporary idols and pleasures of their day. As a result, all people are unfit to stand before the holy God and instead can only expect an eternal continuation of godless independence, painfully experienced in the tortures originally intended for only the devil and his demons. But rather than abandoning people to their self-willed trajectory, Jesus came as a shepherd searching for the lost sheep. Jesus obeyed the plan of his heavenly Father to the point of being the sinless sacrifice, taking on himself the penalty of our own sin and separation from God. By Jesus' death on the cross, God can justifiably transfer our condemnation to Christ and thus be free to forgive and reconcile us to himself without corrupting his holy nature. Paul understood clearly that by a choice of will, every human being can turn away from sin and its certain outcomes and that people by faith can experience the merits of Christ's death for them, trusting in Christ alone for forgiveness and eternal life. And so with this confidence, as people would come to visit Paul in his house arrest situation, he could declare again and again that to die was gain, and to depart and be with Christ was far better than anything this temporary world offered him. His expectation was rooted in spending eternity with his Father in heaven, rejoicing in Christ Jesus, celebrating all that God had done. But we also know that in addition to this hope, Paul was experiencing the energizing, perspective-transforming power of Christ's presence alive in him in every circumstance. Whether in need or in plenty, Paul could be content in the assurance that he could do all things through Christ who strengthened him. Where was he getting this kind of hope and encouragement from? Well, for that, I like to turn to the letter to the Ephesians and read the prayer that he prayed for believers everywhere, especially in Ephesus, but I believe also for us. I'd like you to pay attention to the many superlatives Paul uses in this prayer. So in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prays, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." What an amazing prayer of expectation and confidence in the power of Christ at work in our lives. Paul was so confident of Christ's supply in his life that he could not help but rejoice in Christ at every turn of events. And as you read through the book of Philippians, you will see again and again, he just rejoices in the Lord and calls us to rejoice in the Lord as well. And so, Paul says then here in Philippians chapter 1 that it was his earnest expectation and hope that because of the very presence of Christ in his life, that Christ would be magnified in his life, whether by life or by death. One current Bible teacher puts it this way: Christ is most magnified in me when I am most satisfied in him, especially through times of suffering and death. As Christ becomes more satisfying and encouraging, the struggles and losses of this life dim in severity, even as we look forward to the blessed hope of life eternal with Christ, even through death. So as we find ourselves living in unprecedented times here in Canada and around the world, we have the opportunity to turn to Christ Jesus. If you've never done so, right now, you can turn from the grip of sin and its devastating trajectory to receive the gift of forgiveness and reconciliation with God. This is a decision to admit, believe, and commit to God's provision and plan for your life. In this life and death reality, you could pray along these lines. You could pray, "I know I've sinned against you, God, and deserve the punishment of eternal separation from you. I need the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I now turn from my sin and godless determination. I ask Jesus Christ to forgive me and deliver me from sin's power and give me the gift of eternal life. I now give Jesus Christ control of my life. From this time forward, as he gives me strength, help me to seek him, to trust him, and to obey him in every area of my life." This sort of prayer is not a coronavirus escape prayer. But in fact, it is a whole change of life. It is a deliverance from a fate far worse than a health pandemic. Jesus wants to make you new on the inside and give you a whole new purpose for life and a real hope in death. And for those of you listening who have believed on Jesus for forgiveness and eternal life, I encourage you to continue to magnify the Lord Jesus in your life. Ask the Holy Spirit to renew you daily in Christ's abiding presence so you will shine with hope through the challenges, restrictions, uncertainties, and even sorrows. We are living out a very real life and death story right now. Faith and encouragement in the biblical truth of God's promises and presence are now needed more than ever in our lives. Paul concluded the book of Philippians with some very familiar verses where he said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." May I conclude this message in prayer? Please pause what you're doing right now and join with me in an exercise of your faith. God in heaven, we reach out to you. You are sovereign, all-knowing, all-powerful. We know nothing escapes your awareness. In these difficult and quickly changing times, we turn to you. Father, increase our faith and awareness of your presence and purposes in our lives. You have placed us here for such a time as this that we might magnify Christ in life and death. So with the Apostle Paul, I pray and bow my knees to you, Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that you would grant us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might through your Spirit in our inner man, and that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to that power that works in us, to you, Lord, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Contact with our church family by calling the church office at the phone number found on this website. I also encourage you to reach out to family and friends by means of technology to encourage them in the hope that has endured innumerable tests throughout the centuries. Most of all, pray that God will be glorified in our lives and in the lives of believers around the world as we trust his love, his purpose, and provision through these days. So like the Apostle Paul, we say, to live as Christ and to die as gain. May the Lord make it real and applicable in our lives every day. Amen.